The scripture text we'll be using for our sermon this morning or this afternoon comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, reading now in Jesus' name. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here ends the reading of the word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We pray that you would sanctify us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In this short passage, we have a lot of very familiar verses. We have the beginning where it talks about rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. We have the verse about prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And that final verse, that verse with that strong proclamation of the peace of the Lord, where it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And oftentimes when I look at that passage or when I preach on this passage, those are the verses that I really focus on. And sometimes that second verse of our passage, verse 5, I read it, but then I just kind of skip on over it as I'm going through this passage. But as I was preparing the message for this week, I kept getting stuck on verse 5, where it says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. And I really began to see that verse 5 is really the foundational verse of this passage. Verse 5, with its simple proclamation that the Lord is near, really explains why we are to rejoice in the Lord always. It really explains how that peace of the Lord comes to us. And it really helps us understand, too, how that peace of God can guard our hearts and our minds. It really is all predicated on that promise that the Lord is near. And that certainly is a fitting promise to meditate on here in Advent. That really is what Advent is all about, the coming of the Lord, the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. And here we see in this passage how much difference that presence of the Lord makes in our life. Christianity would really be a sad religion if it were not for the reality of the Lord's presence. Really, that's the only answer we have to the trouble of this world, is the Lord is near. And really, that's the only promise we need. For really, now that we have Christ, since we have that assurance, the world really has nothing of any greater value to offer us than what Christ has offered us simply in his presence. And it's his presence that enables us to have that gentle spirit. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. And a gentle spirit is one that exhibits these other traits that we see in this passage. A gentle spirit is one that is full of joy, that is full of peace, and that is secure. A contentious spirit is really one that's full of despair, fear, tension, and uncertainty. And when we live outside of trusting in the Lord's presence, that's the spirit that often overwhelms us. When we're afraid, we do not have a gentle spirit. That's one of the first things to go when we're afraid, is a gentle spirit. It's easy to become angry at people around us when we don't have that assurance, that peace in our hearts. The first thing we see in this passage that the presence of the Lord brings us is joy. We just sang earlier in the service, joy to the world. And what's the next line in that? Joy to the world. Why? Because the Lord is come. And I always thought that was interesting in that hymn that it says the Lord is come. You know, and it seems weird to us. It doesn't seem very grammatically correct to us. We want to say either the Lord has come or the Lord will come. But that's not what the joy is. The joy is that the Lord is come, that he's always here, that the Lord is always present. The presence of the Lord is not a past thing. The presence of the Lord is not a future thing. The presence of the Lord is always a present thing. It's always right now. The Lord is present. The Lord is come. And that's really the source of all our joy. For Paul doesn't just say, rejoice always. I say it again, rejoice. That's really a terrible command to give people, just to rejoice because. You know, if people are having a tough time and you just go and say, hey, rejoice, just because. That doesn't help. That doesn't bring any comfort to our hearts when we're going through difficulty. And that's not what Paul says. This isn't some sort of verse of self-help or just willing yourself to feel better. Paul gives us a very specific reason as to why we should rejoice always. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's our answer. It is, we can always rejoice in the Lord. And we always rejoice that the Lord is near, even in difficult times, especially in difficult times. We can rejoice that the Lord is near. And that really, that song of joy is really that song of victory. That's why we rejoice in the Lord, because he has won the victory for us. That no matter what we go through, we know the victory is ours in Christ Jesus. And because we already have the victory, we can be gentle. We can live in gentleness toward others because we no longer have to see people that disagree with us as our enemy. That's the way the world looks at it. The world looks at anyone who disagrees with them as their enemy. But in Christ, we don't have to because we rejoice in the Lord. The Lord's already given us the victory. And so instead of looking at others as the enemy, we can look at unbelievers as the captives of our true enemy. They aren't our enemy. They are the ones that the Lord wants to set free as well. Our goal isn't to destroy others. It's not to destroy those who disagree with us. Our goal is to lead them to the Lord's salvation. And we'll only have that attitude if we learn to rejoice in the Lord always, if we learn to rejoice in his victory. And if we learn to do that, if we learn to rejoice in the Lord's victory, we can live in gentleness to others. The second thing this passage says is that the presence of the Lord brings peace. And if we look around this world, we certainly don't see a world at peace. This world has always been filled with war and conflict, sometimes on a major scale, sometimes on a smaller scale. Even the politics of our nation is filled with anger and hatred. But the answer to the stress of this life, Paul tells us, is prayer. It is to bring all the anxieties, all the worries of this world to the Lord in prayer. Because when we come to the Lord in prayer, we're recognizing two things. First of all, we're recognizing that promise that the Lord is near. We wouldn't pray to, we don't talk to people who are far off, you know, because we know they can't hear us. We talk to the Lord because we know he's near, because he's right there. And we also pray to the Lord because we know he cares. We know that he cares to hear us. We don't waste our time talking to people that don't care about us because we know they're not listening to us anyway, right? But the Lord cares. The Lord is near and the Lord cares. And so in tough times, that's a vital promise for us. Now in difficult times, it's important for us to have people around us who care. right? It's a lot easier to go through a difficult time if we know there are other people around us who care. And that's important. But in those tough times, the presence of the Lord is more than important. The presence of the Lord is vital. He is the only one who can truly bring us comfort in difficult times. He's the only one who can truly give us peace in this world full of worry, in this world full of anxiety. And when we come to the Lord, it doesn't mean that all our worries and all our anxiety go away. But it does mean we recognize that there's someone more powerful than our worry. There's someone more powerful than our anxiety. In Psalm 34:18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Again, we don't have a promise there that the Lord will just completely take those things away from us. But we have a promise that when we are brokenhearted, when we are crushed in spirit, that the Lord is there, and the Lord is there to save us. Just like in our Old Testament lesson, it talked about the Lord being that mighty warrior who saves. And the promise that's given there is the Lord your God is with you. Again, that promise of the Lord's presence makes all the difference. And it says that Lord, the mighty warrior, will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And I love that picture of the Lord. The Lord who's not only there, but rejoices over his people. Sometimes I think of that song as a lullaby. How a child, when a child is upset, you know, a mother's lullaby can really calm that child. And so I see the Lord singing to his people that way, that song of calming. But ultimately, that song that's spoken of in Zephaniah is that song of victory. It's a song a warrior would sing or an army would sing on its way back home after a victorious battle to let the people know that the victory has been won. And that's the song the Lord sings over his people. And again, because we have that spirit of peace from the Lord, we don't have to have that contentious spirit. And again, our goal will not be to destroy people, but to gently lead them to the truth. Because of the Lord's peace, we can live in gentleness. The final thing we see in this passage is that the presence of the Lord brings protection. When we're filled with the joy of the Lord, when we rest in the peace of the Lord, our souls can stand secure. Now, this world loves to use fear. How much fear-mongering do you see going on in this world? You turn on the news and it's all fear. It's all fear-driven. Right now, the big thing are these drones. Nobody knows what the drones are, or the people who do know won't tell us. But there's a lot of people who are using that to stir up fear. That we think of the fear of, you know, nuclear war or global warming. For the past 50 years, we've been told we're like 10 years away from catastrophe because of global warming. And every 10 years, they just kick it another 10 years down the road. UFOs or conspiracy theories after conspiracy theories. And then pretty soon we start calling obvious truths conspiracy theories, though we can't hide it anymore. And the reason we do that is the world is driven by fear. Fear is the main weapon of the enemy. I was watching a show with my family on the Disney Channel. Now it's no longer on the Disney Channel anymore. I think it hit a little too close to home for a lot of people, so they shoved it off at a corner. But it was a show called, and I haven't seen the whole show. I've only seen the first three episodes, so I'm not endorsing the whole show. But it's called The Mysterious Benedict Society. And it's about this guy who recruits children to try to figure out what's going on in the world. And in that world, everything is driven by something they call the emergency. And it says, you better do this because of the emergency. You better not do that because of the emergency that's coming. But nobody ever defines what the emergency is. Nobody knows what the emergency is. They just keep talking about the emergency, and everybody's worried about this emergency that they don't even know what it's about. But that's the way our world works too. It just whips us into fear. It whips us into paranoia. But the only protection we have from that is the joy and the peace of the Lord. And we need to learn to remain there, to be so nestled into God that the fear of this world seems remote and foreign. And it doesn't mean we isolate ourselves or cut ourselves off from the world or that we don't watch the news, although I think watching the news less would be helpful. But no, it just means we don't live for the world. We live with Christ, and we take Christ wherever we go. We live a life of praise. We live a life of prayer, and when we do that, we can also live a life of courage. When the Israelites were entering the promised land, the Lord said to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And that's our promise too, that we know that wherever we go, wherever this world goes, wherever, you know, history leads us, that the Lord's already there. And the Lord has promised that he will be with us. And because of that, we need not fear anything. Because of the Lord's presence, we know that we have the protection of the Lord. And because of that, we too can live in gentleness. And so we can live with that gentle spirit, not a contentious spirit, but a gentle spirit, because we know that the Lord is near, and that he brings us his joy, and that he brings us his peace, and he brings us his protection. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we know that you're near. We know that you're here with us. You promised that where two or three gather in your name, that you're here with us. And we thank you for that presence. We thank you for that presence that brings us joy. And we pray, Lord, that we would rejoice in you at all times, in all circumstances. We thank you, too, that your presence brings us peace. And we pray, Lord, you would help us to rest from the turmoil of the world and just live at peace with you. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise of your protection, that we know that if we have you, that nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would not give in to fear, that we would not live with a spirit of fear, but that we would live, Lord, with a spirit of courage and peace and joy. And we ask all of this in the precious and holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.